This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They seemed to be successful in the first half on first down, especially. What did you guys do to kind of tighten that up after the half?
Yeah, I'm talking about their offense. Yeah, and I thought Jones circled us, you know, on a couple of runs that were some big ones. And I've seen that movie before where he can use his legs and get outside, and he certainly did. Sometimes you see that on a pass where he's got enough speed to lose ground to get outside and circle. These happen to be in the run game to go. But, you know, I thought that was, you know, what the legs and him getting outside, I thought was a big part of the explosive plays in that first half.
Yeah, they didn't really stop anything in the second half. They didn't stop much in the first half. They didn't stop much in the second half. The Giants had the ball three times in the second half, ran 32 plays, had well over 200 yards, and they scored on all three drives. Now, there was a fourth down conversion that should not have been. We will get to that here in a moment. But we continue with the game take. Denton will give us his big takeaways, and then it will be your turn in about 20 minutes. Just went through the list of things that I liked. Look, offensively, this team is elite. The quarterback is elite. Terry was outstanding. Love Rodriguez and the way he played. Eckler, Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown's 3rd-and-18 check down that he turned into a 24-yard run. Part Giants, definitely, in tackling, but he threw out a vicious stiff arm that kept that first tackler at bay. Defensively, a couple of players stood out. Fowler Jr., Chin, Armstrong in particular for me. The special teams are really good. Let me just check real quickly because they were very high in DVOA special teams before. Let's see if they've updated. Washington currently the 7th best overall special teams unit in the NFL. There is a relentless high energy nature to their coverage units you love to see. And you know, and then you get just this kicker. I mean, he had one that, you know, he kind of chunked against Baltimore. And then what was the other one he missed? Why am I forgetting? Did he miss one last week? He missed one last week, right? Against Chicago? Yeah. Pretty sure. Yeah, Baltimore, here it is. The two misses are both 50-plus yarders against Baltimore and against Chicago. He is having himself quite the season, kicking field goals in Washington, 25 of 27, and he's 22 of 22, perfection on PATs. All right, what I didn't like. So the defense plays so hard. They tackle so much better than they did earlier in the season. I think that they are really coached up from this standpoint. You know, if we're going to have some bad results, we're going to have them at full speed. This is a hustle team. I know that sounds very youth sports-ish, but this team flies around. They play with urgency. They play with a high motor. They play as physically as they can. But there's also no doubt that the flaw this year through 9 games has been their ability or inability to stop the run consistently against teams that have made an effort to run the football. I think they're pressuring the quarterback, you know, consistently now, and they're better. They appear to be better schemed. I think it's really hard sometimes to figure out who's coming and who isn't. But let's face it, in the first half, Daniel Jones was 4 for 6 for 0 yards passing, even though he did throw for a touchdown. The bottom line is, if they never threw a pass in the first half, the score would have been much closer than 21-7 because Washington could not stop the run. The Giants ran 21 times out of 28 snaps in the first half. 142 yards, that's 6.8 yards. And yeah, the quarterback's involved in the run game, just like Jalen Hurts will be on two games coming up this season that will be rather important. What was really interesting, because I went back and watched just the first half early this morning defensively, I mean, there were multiple times where there were eight guys in the box. There's a play on Daniel Jones's first big read option keeper where he got outside the edge and ran for 20-something yards. Washington had nine in the box, you know, versus kind of 31 personnel. They had three tight ends, one back, overloaded one side, put one of the tight ends in motion. And one of the tight ends just completely sealed the edge. You had the benefit, as I discussed offensively with Washington and Jaden Daniels, you had the benefit of a legit dual threat zone read option quarterback. And that's the style of play that was working for them. Tyrone Tracy's also outstanding. He's got quick feet. He's quick in traffic. He's got great vision. Singletary the same way. But look, they've been run on, you know, all season long, you know, against teams that, like, even in the game that they won 42-14, Connor ran the ball. They didn't run him enough, to be honest with you. And sometimes it is because they're facing good backs. I think Tracy's a good back. I think he is. And they're not able, you know, they miss a bunch. They're not able to square up a good runner with good vision. It looks like there are gap misses and contains at times. The Giants ran it at will. And the only reason that the score wasn't, you know, deadlocked or maybe Washington up by, you know, a score was because of the fumble on the Giants' second drive and the fact that the Giants completely, you know, were incompetent from a game situation standpoint at the end of the half. But, and then what happens against a team like the Giants, you know, with a dual threat quarterback, and so now their running game's even more effective against you. You give up 6.8 yards per carry in the first half. I mean, that drive that they scored the touchdown on that bled into the second quarter was a 9-minute drive. They only threw twice on that drive. And I don't, you know, they threw the touchdown pass on, or that was the Daniel Jones, excuse me. How about Daniel Jones, you know, running over people for a touchdown? That was a 16-play, 73. No, that was the touchdown pass to Manhurts, the tight end, in the back of the end zone on first and goal. That's a 16-play, 73-yard, 9-minute and 43-second drive. You know what 9 minutes and 43 seconds on the field defensively means more than anything else? It means number 5's not on the field. And that's going to be the formula to beating Washington. We used to say that about teams we would face. The formula is to run the football, possess the football against the weakness of the football team, which is the inability to be consistent against the run, to stay two-dimensional. You know, against Daniel Jones, if you make him one-dimensional, it's over. They were two-dimensional throughout, even late in the game. You know, I saw somebody tweeted me and said, please don't go nuts over the second half yardage for the Giants. It's all garbage yards. You're out of your mind. You think Washington was in prevent? No. The last drive when they're up 27-16 and the Giants take over with 3:46 to go, that drive a little bit more soft, but the first two drives weren't. They went 15 plays, 66 yards, 8:37 off the clock in their first offensive drive, and their second one was 13 plays, 80 yards. Look, they got aided by a terrible spot on one of those drives. We'll get to that in a moment. But, you know, the bottom line is, and I said this in the open, but if you're going to give up, you know, that many yards rushing, and, you know, with a better quarterback, you're now going to be really susceptible to play action, to bootleg. You know, Jones threw for 174 yards in the second half. The Giants were 3-for-3, 17 points on three drives. They were 6-for-11 on third down in the game. They were 2-for-2 on fourth down, even though one of those was clearly not a first down. They just were never one-dimensional until maybe, you know, that final drive. But let's be real here with one another. The Giants were one third down stop on defense in two different occasions in the first half. In the second half, excuse me. From having the ball down one score. Down either 24-16 or 27-22. I would not have felt good about that. And I don't think much about the Giants. But I would not have felt good about that. The effort overall by the defense was, it was a C-minus, D-plus performance. The turnover was big, more on that coming up. And, you know, they had a fourth down stop that should have been challenged, and it would have been, you know, overturned the call on the field to throw to Neighbors in the spot. But Washington's productivity on offense from a drive standpoint was pretty much matched by the Giants. You know, the Giants in the second half went 3 for 3 on scores, and for the game were 4 for 6. Also on the list of things I didn't like. So that 4th and 2 that the Giants went for, first drive, second half, you know, down 21-7, that's a terrible spot. And the Giants did a nice job of getting up and running play quickly, but got to be better. You know, Dave Gardy, whoever it is up in the box, you gotta sniff that one out, because it didn't look like a first down in real time. And then, you know, you gotta wait for the replay. They don't have their own replay machines. I think we've explained the process before. You gotta wait for the clean feed replays in the booth, and I guess they didn't get one. You know, maybe that'll be something that Quinn's asked about today. Was he asked about in the post game, Denton, or not? Why they didn't challenge the 4th and 2
to
Neighbors? I don't
believe so. I think he'll probably be asked about that today.
Yeah. But that kept that Giant drive alive. By the way, the Giants got completely hosed on the 4th and 1 touchdown pass, which Slayton was called for offensive pass interference. That was truly ticky-tack. But they wouldn't have been in that position had Washington challenged. They would have won that challenge. I don't think there's any doubt. All right. Other observations from the game. I want to start with the fumble on the Giants' second drive of the game. That play, I was surprised when they came back from commercial and Washington had the ball at the Giant 31. So I've gone back and looked at that play multiple times. Okay? There is no clear recovery when they blew that play dead. In fact, the closest player to the football when they blew it dead was a Giant, Tyrone Tracy. He was the closest. Wagner ended up recovering it. And yeah, it was a clear recovery at the end of the play, but the play had been whistled dead already. And you had Giant players stopping. Am I right, Denton? Like, if they whistle the play dead before the clear recovery, then it should have been Giant ball from where he fumbled, which, by the way, was in Washington territory.
I think you're wrong on that. I think if the replay shows a clear recovery, no matter if the whistle was blown or not, then that's what they go with.
That doesn't even make sense, though. If the other if the whistle blows the play dead, that's a mistake, by the way. Referees are told, you got to let these plays play out. And if the play plays out, you know, I think Wagner probably ends up with a clear recovery, but the Giant players slowed down when the whistle blew. Tracy was the closest to the ball when the referee started blowing the whistle and waving the play dead. I thought once the play is dead, if there's no clear recovery, you might be right. You might be right. I'll tell you what, it was a nice break. It was, you know, nice hustle by Bobby Wagner. I'm certainly not going to knock him for that. He played it out. He played it out even with the whistle blowing the play dead. And Tyrone Tracy didn't necessarily. So that was one of the things I wanted to comment on. I've already mentioned the Giants absolutely mishandled the clock. They mishandled the end of the first half in coverage. 11 seconds to go, no timeouts. And you got Deontay Banks on Terry McLaurin, basically in man coverage. I think he was expecting some safety help, but it wasn't there. That's terrible. You know, you just can't allow that. You got to play everything in front of us pre, you know, 5-yard line. Let him catch it. Clock will run out. If you want to throw it to the sideline, you're in field goal range already. We're just not giving up a touchdown. That was terrible. And then before the 2-minute warning, right after that Chris Rodriguez first down run for 1 yard, the Giants should have banged their first to 3 timeouts. I think most people now know, except for a lot of coaches, you use your timeouts when you're behind on defense before the 2-minute warning. And the only time you don't use it before the 2-minute warning is you don't want to use it with about 2:07 or less on the game clock, because then you're giving free license to the offense to throw the football. Washington threw the big play, the big completion to Zacchaeus there. I think it was called, but if it wasn't called and they checked to that based on where the clock was and knowing that there was no downside to throwing the football there, they're brilliant. What else did I have? There's a run by McNichols. He runs hard. He was the only one that didn't have success running the football yesterday. And his legs are still churning, and he actually breaks a tackle. And the whistle, I think they're blowing the whistle on forward progress sometimes a little bit too quickly. I also hate sometimes when it looks like forward progress should be blown dead, and then you get the offensive line pushing a running back from like the 8-yard line into the end zone. I mean, but McNichols had one where he was clearly still churning, and they blew a whistle, and he actually broke a tackle. What else do I have here? Just going back to what the text that I got from a coach friend of mine. You know, the O-line had a good day. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't. I think the O-line has had a lot of really good days. I think the Giants had a ton of respect for Washington's quarterback in pass rush pressure. This is a team that was top 10 in pressure rate coming in, whether it was 4-man or 5-man. Whether they sent somebody else, they had enormous respect for what he could do if you didn't contain rush. That's what I would say. I'll go back and look at the All-22. Those of you that have sent me, you know, texts and tweets about how bad Mark Sanchez was, I don't have an example, honestly. I mean, I actually think Sanchez is pretty good analyzing the football part of it, but a lot of you felt like he was so pro-Giant. I'll take your word for it. I rarely hear, I'm looking for the analysis of the play, but it didn't occur to me to think that Mark Sanchez was awful. But I've had two of my very good and astute friends when it comes to football, including my guy Murph, say, I hope you crush Sanchez. He was way too pro-Giant. Trade deadline tomorrow at 4. I just trust them. That's all I'll say. I trust them. I think they need more defensively, but, you know, it's got to be the right fit, scheme-wise, culture-wise, compensation-wise, you know, no, you know, rentals. Yeah, they are an NFC championship contender. I'd put Detroit certainly at the top of that list. Detroit right now is really a good football team, but Washington's going to be potentially in the hunt, you know, game at a time, but for a top seed here, 1 or 2 seed, and they're going to have a chance to play in an NFL. You know, they're going to have a chance to win a couple playoff games. You know, when you're that good at that position, quarterback, you can win a lot of games, including games when you're flawed in certain areas. Denton, what were your big takeaways from the game?
Well, I mean, I love how Jaden played. You know, I was really one of the things I was worried about is when we got the news that Brian Robinson wasn't going to be playing. The last time he didn't play was against Baltimore, and it felt like they kind of went away from the running game. So I was really nervous about how they were going to handle that, because you look at the Giants' defense, and the Giants' defense versus Baltimore's defense when it comes to running the ball, two very different defenses. Baltimore is very good at stopping it. The Giants are not. So the fact that they didn't shy away from it, I was really pleased with. I thought Chris Rodriguez stepping up after not knowing he was going to play until like 90 minutes before the game time was really great to see. He was the darling, it felt like, of last year's offseason in training camp, so to see him play well was really great. I thought Jaden also played really well. I mean, you've kind of touched on it from all angles. He's really freaking good. Like, really, really freaking good. And I love that Noah Brown was getting involved early. You know, I like that they're spreading the ball around a little bit. Obviously, I want to see Terry do well. And you had talked about whether or not he's a Pro Bowl wide receiver. Right now, he's 7th in receiving yards with 598 and tied for second in touchdowns with six.
In the NFC or the league?
In the league. And his career high, just on a personal note, in touchdowns for a season was his rookie year 2019, where he had seven. So he's playing the best football of his career with Jaden Daniels. So that's wonderful to see. And then Dante Fowler's awesome. I mean, he's really become a good pass rusher for this team. He has 6.5 sacks. He's on pace to go for double digits the first time since Kerrigan that a guy's gone. Or I guess Daron Payne.
What's the most Fowler's ever had in a season?
Let me look that up now. Because I guess Daron Payne had, what, 11 that year where he got the contract? But the first edge guy since Kerrigan to go over double digits, because Sweat never did, and Lord knows Chase Young never did. He had 11.5 in 2019 with the Rams.
With the Rams.
And then the second closest was 8 in 17 with Jacksonville. And then the 6.5 is the third most of his career through 9 games. So he's really playing good, good football on the defensive side.
In the NFC right now, I think your starting receivers would be Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb. Yes or no?
Yeah, it would be CeeDee, because you just go by numbers for the Pro Bowl.
But I think Terry would make the Pro Bowl team right now, because the only other NFC receiver in front of him in yards, Jaden Reed, Green Bay. Now, there are some that are very close. You know, Darnell Mooney's having a really good year. Smith Najigba's actually having a really good season. And we both love neighbors, but they're just not productive enough offensively for him to get there.
But the winning also matters.
How is Amon-Ra St. Brown not going to be a first-team NFC Pro Bowler?
He eventually will. Like, that'll balance out. He's going to have a good game. But, like, Terry being able to play as the season progresses in more nationally televised games is certainly going to help. Everybody knows about Terry across the league, and they know that he's suffered for the first 6 years of his career because of the quarterback situation. But getting to see him in primetime with Jaden, I think, will boost his chances for a Pro Bowl spot.
How many Pro Bowls? Has Terry made one Pro Bowl?
I think he's made at least one. I don't know that he's made two, but I think
one
he's
Pro
made
Bowl.
At least one.
He made one Pro Bowl. Was it as an alternate? Yeah, he made a Pro Bowl in 2022. 2022, he made a Pro Bowl. I forget if that was a starting Pro Bowl. Well, you don't get counted as a Pro Bowl if you're an alternate, right? You play in the game, but you're not. That doesn't go on your resume.
No, it definitely does. It definitely
does. Oh, it does?
Yeah, it does.
Well, look up 2022. I'm curious as to whether or not he was voted as a starter or as a backup or as an alternate. I'm curious. All right. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Window Nation is going to help you out before winter arrives. Industry experts say heating costs are going up again this winter, as much as 23%, depending on where you live. And if you don't have Window Nation windows, a lot of that money that is heating your home is going right out the window. Window Nation has some of the most insulated windows you can buy. That means more of the heat you're paying for will stay inside your home. Actually, a lot more than the other big-name window brands. Window Nation's proved it to me, and they'll make you a believer as well. The best part is that this November, you can get these amazing windows at 50% off. Plus, you can save even more with 0% interest for 5 full years. Get top-tier windows from Window Nation at a fraction of the cost of other big names. Hurry, the sale ends November 30th, so act now before this offer ends. Schedule a fast in-home estimate right now at 866-90-NATION or visit WindowNation.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Terry McLaurin has 2 catches, but both are touchdowns. Can you talk a little bit about how important he's been and his attitude has been, more importantly? You walk into a locker room that's already got a guy like that embedded in it. How nice has that been for a new coaching administration?
It is, and he's a real pro's pro. And we had somebody talk to the team yesterday, Bob Myers, and he talked about some people, about their role in winning, and he told a story about Andre Iguodala. coming off the bench to go and whatever was best for the team. And then in that same season, he ended up being a finals MVP. But the message I thought that was so strong was, would he say the same things publicly that he would privately that was best for the team? And when it's really about winning, that's a really big deal. And that's what Terry McLaurin is, about winning. And he absolutely delivers. He strains to fight for it. I love the connection with Jaden, but I feel his energy. I feel his presence in the game, whatever it takes to go. But a number of different people stepped up today. But Terry's a pro's pro. And, man, are we fortunate we got him. He's been so much fun to coach.
That was, I believe, Sally Jenkins asking that question. That means she probably wrote, which means I will probably look for it and read it after the show today. Terry McLaurin so deserves this, honestly. I mean, how many quarterbacks was it before Jaden?
Like 10, I think.
I thought it was more than that. Like, if you count the Gale Gilberts or the Gilbert whatevers, the guy that was the COVID Gilberts. Quarterback.
You got to put some respect on the name of Garrett Gilbert, the legend.
Garrett Gilbert, sorry.
No, he's in that. I think it was 10. Because he played with Sanchez, I think, for a game. Josh Johnson was in there. Garrett Gilbert was in there. So, it's a who's who of quarterbacks.
Yeah. Denton had it right. Mike Pereira, according to our guy, the incomparable CJ, explained both plays. The former ref said, it's a play beyond the whistle to establish clear possession. So once the call of fumble was confirmed, it's wherever the ball was clearly recovered. Yeah, the ball was clearly recovered by Wagner at the 31. All right, and then obviously you can't advance it. All I'm saying is that is definitely a beneficial rule for Washington. That is the rule. But that whistle blows, and Tracy's actually the closest to the fumble when the whistle blows. Now, he didn't do what Bobby Wagner did, which is go get it anyway. So good for Bobby Wagner. From Don on Twitter, this Commanders team is very similar to the 2007 Colts. Very good on offense with an elite quarterback that has a subpar defense that only needs to make 2 to 3 stops a game. Yeah, and, you know, I also think, didn't they get the 2007 Colts that beat Chicago in the Super Bowl, correct, Denton? They beat Chicago that year in the Super Bowl in South Florida, I'm pretty sure, because I remember that Super Bowl. Is that – no, 2007 was the Patriots.
Yeah, 2007, the Colts beat as 06.
Colts.
That's when they beat
the
Sexy Rexy.
Yeah, because that was a Miami Super Bowl. But I am pretty sure that they got going into the late season, I want to say both Freeney and Mathis back. And they didn't have them for much of the regular season. It may have been Freeney, or am I thinking of another year? Because they were missing some key players. Bob Sanders, remember their great safety? I think he was missing until late in the season as well. I'd have to go back and look.
Dwight Freeney. He only played 9 games that year. I have that Mike Pereira ruling if you want to hear it.
I want to hear Pereira.
Yeah, it clearly is a fumble. And if they're that close as a referee, you really want to let the play out. And then the other thing, you know, you do get a whistle, but it doesn't matter. When it comes to recovery of a loose ball, you play through the whistle. And the first person that gets it. And Washington did.
There you go. I mean, you watch that play, and it's clear that they're whistling that play dead, and when they do that, the giant is closest to the ball, Tyrone Tracy, but he didn't do what Wagner did. He did not play it as if the play were still alive despite the whistle blowing. The bottom line, more than anything else, is the referees are instructed not to blow the whistle on a play like that. You know? And I don't know, ultimately, if they don't blow the whistle, I wonder who benefits from that, because Tracy goes for the ball and then kind of stops. And maybe he recovers it and the Giants have the ball all the way back there. But there's also the possibility he's not able to recover it and Wagner picks it up and scores. Doesn't matter, because as long as the offense comes onto the field after, you know, a punt or a turnover, there's a pretty good chance they're going to score which they did. Got the PI down to the one and then the slant to Terry for the touchdown. All right, 301-230-0980. Your reaction to the 27-22 win over the Giants. They are 7-2 now for the first time in 28 years. 28 years! You could have never convinced me. Never. All of us would have said the same thing, even in 96, because we were still so close to being removed from the glory days that we'd have to wait 28 years again to see them 7-2. Or how about just after 91 that we would be, you know, at 33 years and counting on an 11-win season, which I think there's a decent chance of that this year. Okay, let's start with Tom. Tom in Columbia. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I think across the board, media fans were suffering from that unicorn effect with our quarterback because, you know, just statistically looking at the run defense and then just the smell test part of it is pretty bad. I mean, we're getting gouged every single game, no matter the level of competition. And I think these next two games are going to really make that point clear. I think that both these games are probably go the same way as the Ravens game, where unless the offense has some kind of unusual explosion, they can help the defense out in that regard. But I see both these games tracking very similar to the Ravens game. And I think it's a testament to the NFL gods that the two tenets you have to make to be a solid team is, one, stop the run, two, run the ball effectively. And we're running the ball effectively, but the run defense is just absolutely horrendous. And at this point, is it scheme, or do you think it's they don't have their parts?
It's a good question. I mean, some of it looks like, because I went back and just watched them get just absolutely gouged in the first half, and it looks like on some of them, the box is loaded and they're still giving up 4 or 5 yards, and then there's a chunk run by Tracy, another trunk, a chunk run by Singletary. It looks like in the hole, they're just, both of those guys are good runners. They've got good quick feet and wiggle in the hole, and we're just not getting there. Even if the gap is kind of filled. So some of that's on them, on the Giants being good at what they were doing yesterday, but it's happened too much. Like, you even go back to the Arizona game, which, by the way, that is now looking very much like the most impressive win of the year. Seriously. The Cardinals are 5-4. They're in first place in the NFC West, and Washington went in there and lowered the boom. 42-14. But even in that game, James Conner was running roughshod over them. You know, the big issue for them in that game was, you know, they had a fumble, they had, and the quarterback didn't run. But I'm just, Conner, didn't he have over 100 yards against Washington or not? Much of it in the first half? 104 yards on 18 carries. He averaged 5.8 yards per carry. Look, it doesn't matter. You'll give up 9 yards per carry if you win 42-14. The other team, you know, sort of did it to themselves, and Washington was unstoppable offensively in that game. God, I'm just looking at Jaden's QBR number, Denton, on my podcast yesterday at the end. I'm like, because it wasn't out, I'm like, it's going to be in the 80s. It was 96 yesterday. Yesterday was the highest QBR number for Jaden this year. What was his PFF number? Do you have it?
His PFF number was 88.2.
Is that the highest for him, or did he have a...
No, he had a 90 game. You know what's actually hilarious? Daniel Jones graded better on PFF than Jaden Daniels did. Daniel Jones graded
yesterday?
He graded in the 90s.
You know what? Daniel Jones played well. That's why you got to be at least a little bit reluctant about signing off on a defense that's improved. I think most of you after yesterday would come to the conclusion, okay, if you were, you know, after Chicago and Carolina, defense is right where they need to be, and they keep getting better. They got gashed in the first half by the Giants. In the second half, the Giants decided, we'll gash them through the air. It doesn't matter, because you're going to have a chance to win games because your offense is so good and the quarterback is so good. But if you end up losing, you know, some games or a key game at the end of the season, it'll more likely be because of the defense You know, you would expect, by the way, just wouldn't you expect just one off game offensively? Just one? Wouldn't you expect maybe occasionally a self-inflicted mistake? They don't do any of that. They're well coached, man. Well coached. Let's go to Rylan. Rylan, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Good morning, boys. Another beautiful morning. No, it's just another great, a great team effort. And like you say, with a guy like JD5 leading the charge and now giving Terry a weapon like him, who knows what the ceiling is for those two. But I think we can get some help at the trade deadline with the defensive side of the ball and then let Dan the Man Quinn take us to the championship land. It's going to be exciting to watch. And I'm excited for local legends like yourself that are waiting 28 years for this 7-2 spot, because I can tell you, from the amount of people up in Canada that are texting me, letting me know that we're back, we might be Canada's team by the end of the season. So let's keep this train going, boys. Hail to the skin.
Thanks, Rylan. Appreciate it. One of the things, too, is that, you know, the Cowboys are getting a lot of attention. Aaron Rodgers is getting a lot of attention. The Lions are going to get a lot of attention. They have been. But Washington's been getting a lot of attention, too. When this happens with a superstar at quarterback, it's, like I said, I think I said this 2 weeks ago, get ready for 6 primetime games minimum in 2025. We still got chances for primetime games at the end of this year. Let's go to our guy Joe in Springfield. Joe, what do you got?
Kevin, happy Victory Monday again. 7th time this year, and it feels pretty good to say that.
Yep.
All right, so first I'm going to start with a like. Jaden Daniels, you know, it's hard to top the Hail Mary that he pulled off last week, but what he did at the end of the first half with the team facing a 3rd-and-18, throwing a screen to De'Ami Brown, and yes, the Giant defense basically
had to
check
down. I don't even think that was a screen. If you go back and look, it looks like it was just, you know, we're just checking it down. We need, you know, 6-7 yards for better Austin Seibert field goal range.
Yeah, and then the end zone pass to Terry McLaurin. I mean, technically the Giants were, I felt like they were playing soft on that, but Terry came up with that catch. Dante Fowler Jr., I'm going to add him on the defensive players that I like. I mean, I always say Frankie Louvo and Bobby Wagner, but Dante Fowler Jr. has definitely come along, sure. I mean, with the sack and the fumble they had in the first quarter, what I didn't like, and we've been pressing on this all morning, that run defense, Kevin, oh my God. The next 2 weeks, I mean, the offense has been clicking like crazy, and they may have to keep staying on the field because Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, I'm not trying to get myself, but Pittsburgh is good for running the football, as is Philadelphia. That's going to be a problem, and we have got to adjust it. Hopefully, maybe when the trade deadline happens tomorrow, we picked up some people. Who knows? The side note, there are some people out there that are still saying, okay, they're not sure about this team and everything like that. You know, with all due respect, this has been a long time coming. We are top of the NFC East right now. I mean, we're like a half game out of the top seed in the NFC. I mean, Detroit won yesterday. How good does this feel? It has been so long since we felt like this, and there's some people who are still down about it. Well, then, you're probably still in the whole Dan Snyder era.
I'm not hearing many people that are down about anything. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, those that, you know, with the name, I feel them. I mean, I would never, ever, you'll never hear me lecture as others have, including some on this station, you know, people who are still hung up on the name. That's arrogant to do that. And I feel some of what they feel. But in terms of just, you know, looking at this team and understanding that it is legit, yeah, there's some PTSD associated with the last 25 years. Like, are we seeing something that's really real or expecting something bad to happen? But if we're just taking each one of these games as individual entities, they are a dynamic, efficient, explosive at times, quarterback-led. The coordinator's great, too. Don't get me wrong. The line's great. Terry's good. The backs do. But you've got an offense that literally, when it takes the field, doesn't leave it until there are more points on the board. That's a hard team to beat. And whoever sent me that tweet, I forget who it was, Don, who said that, you know, the 2006 Colts that won the Super Bowl, you just need a couple of stops, maybe a couple of self-inflicted mistakes by the opponent. That's all it's going to take to keep winning games. And you don't even need that to win, to beat the Giants twice, to beat the Bengals. I mean, you could not get off the field against either one of those two teams And, you know, you had a win, a 38-33 win, 21-18, 27-22. If this were 2004, I would definitely say, yeah, look, there's a massive, massive limiting factor here, and it's why they can't win, you know, a playoff game or more than one. You have to be able to stop the run in the NFL to win. It helps. But when you're that good offensively, you're going to have a chance against everybody. All right, stay on the phone. Pete, Paulie, Billy, Callie, Chad, we'll get to all of your calls next. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Big day for the Commanders on Sunday. They advance to 7-2 for the first time since 1996 with a 27-22 win over the Giants, sweeping New York for the season. Jaden Daniels was 15-22 for 209 yards and two passing touchdowns. He also had 35 yards rushing on eight carries. Chris Rodriguez was the team's leading rusher in the absence of Brian Robinson. He had 52 yards on 11 carries. Terry McLaurin caught the two touchdown passes from Jaden Daniels. Elsewhere in the NFL, Philadelphia beat Jacksonville 28-23. They improved to 6-2 on the year. Dallas falls to 3-5 in a 27-21 loss to the Atlanta Falcons. Dak Prescott left that game with what was called a hamstring injury. He was also seen mouthing that his team is not very good on Sunday Night Football. And elsewhere in the NFL, the Saints have parted ways with head coach Dennis Allen. They've lost 7 in a row, including yesterday's loss 23-22 to the Panthers. And the Saints said, we are going a different direction. In the NHL, Alex Ovechkin scored his 860th goal on Sunday, 7th for the season, but the Caps fell 4-2 to the Carolina Hurricanes. And that's what's trending.
Oh, and the DC not allowing him to get in goal line.
Daniels, quick pass, caught in the end zone. It's Terry McLaurin for a Commanders touchdown.
That was the first one. Low, perfectly thrown. Great catch, great throw. Touchdown, 7-0. Let's get some calls in here. Ben's going to join us at 12. Callie is calling from California. Callie, go ahead.
I do what works for me.
Callie, you there? Put Callie on hold. Let's go to Pete in Wilmington. Pete, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Let me give you my take on this whole team situation with the defense. You ever heard of the term, the best defense is a good offense? That's what we have. That's the team that we have. We have such a good offense that
yes,
the defense is better. It's better than it was last year. It's better than it was in the first game. And I'll say this about the rushing of the Giants in the first half. Their focus, in my opinion, was on number one, Malik Nabers. They wanted to shut him down, which they did. And in turn, they had to let the running back.
They had eight in the box. Six times, yeah. I counted. Eight. They had nine in the box on the Daniel Jones keeper.
Yeah.
They were still getting
Daniel
run on.
Jones, that's a whole. Yes, that's true. That's the whole factor. But when it comes down to it, you know, once they get ahead, then their defense starts to change a little bit. So they have the offense to keep them straight. Now, they got to get better, obviously. And I tell you what, they're also good. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago on your show. They're like the best team to stop these two-point conversions for whatever reason. They can't, you know, they just teams don't get any 2 points on them. And why the Giants tried that yesterday, thank you. We appreciate it. And also, you know, with the quarterback, have you ever seen, I have never seen in the 50 years I've been watching NFL football, a quarterback that's so calm. I've never seen a guy,
so poised.
He doesn't even break a sweat.
No.
I mean, it's incredible what
He appears
really
to just be toying with people out there, honestly. I mean, it's amazing to talk about this guy and then realize he's actually playing for us. By the way, good point. I don't know what the two-point conversion rate is against us, but I forgot to mention, what are you doing, New York? Seriously. Like, first of all, when you're down 14, they say you score a touchdown, you go for two. You know, the two-point analytics people are convinced that's the right thing to do. Context is everything. If you tell me that my two-point play is dropping Daniel Jones back, kick it. I mean, come on. Like, if you're going to run him as a zone read play, you're going to spread the field. That's one thing. They dropped him back twice. Jesus, this going for two, I mean, wait till we get to around the NFL. Nick Sirianni literally almost cost his team a game because he's a nitwit, really. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, What's up?
Big guy. Hail to the W. Hey, man. I've been watching football for a long time, right? That was Joe Gibbs football yesterday, man. You know what I'm saying? We methodically beat a division opponent for the second time at home. And you asked what the Giants was doing. They was desperate. Like, that was the Giants' season yesterday, period.
Yeah.
You know, it's about counting draft picks for them right now. So that's what all that going for this and doing that was. But I want to say this about the defense, man. I've been saying it from week one. They just got to get better at something, everything, each week. And that's what's been going on with them. It's never going to be pretty. You know, it's never going to be a finished product because the talent, the individual talent is not there. So they have to play with cohesion, and they have to, like you said, they've been doing all year long, fly to the ball. Now, you look at St. Juice. He clearly had a better game against Neighbors this week than he did in the second week. That pass interference was some BS. Like, they both was fighting for the ball. They both was looking for the ball. You know, so to me, that was BS. And even what was more egregious about the not throwing the flag on that 4-for-1 stop he had on Neighbors was the referee was standing right on the sticks. Right there.
Yeah, it was a terrible spot.
That's what peed me off the most, because I see what Dan Quinn was thinking. Like, you know, they made it a subjective call, and she was standing right there.
She was standing right there. She was a terrible spot. Wasn't even close.
Nine times out of ten, we won't get that call. But like I said about the defense, though, the defense, they just need to keep getting better, man. Statistically, it's never going to look good. I mean, look, Tracy Jr. had 146 yards against Pittsburgh.
I know. He's good.
On Monday night. So, yeah, I mean, so, you know, the other team get played, the other team got talent, too. But it's just
I understand that, but you got the 29th ranked rush defense in the NFL, the 30th ranked in yards per carry in the NFL. It's a bad run defense. Bad.
It is a bad run defense.
Yeah.
But as long as they get the stops, so when they need to get the stops, be good. You look at Daniel Jones. I said this real before I get off. I said this.
They didn't get a stop in the second half. They didn't get one stop. But they still won because they're so good on offense.
Because they played the clock. They played winning football. But look, Daniel Jones, he outranked them on PFF or whatever. But you know what the difference was? Man, Daniel Jones had to work for everything he got. With my man Coop, my cool JD5 Magic, he just seemed to, everything was just flowing for him.
Daniel Jones doesn't make it look quite as easy as number five does. Let me get another call in here. Thanks as always. Let's go to my guy Chad in Nashville. Chad, go ahead.
Man, Kevin, man, that was awesome, dude. It's so hard getting acquainted to this as a Skins fan for so many years.
I am now acquainted to it. I was predisposed to thinking the quarterback could be special at some point. Not this quickly, but you're watching a lot of what this dude did in college. I mean, he really, it was week in and week out, it looked just like this. I mean, it's hard to project that to the NFL, but it was so spectacular week in and week out. And by the way, the other thing, he protects the football. Didn't he throw like two interceptions all of last year? It's some ridiculously low number. Go ahead, Chad.
But we didn't know that it might be like this. Like,
no,
I didn't know.
Nobody said
this.
The greatest rookie season in the history of the league. Yeah, no.
Yes. And me and Denton have never seen this in our lifetimes. I'm 31. Never. Okay. Yeah. So I have to tell you, I'm in Chicago last week, right? And I meant to call you. I was at Rivers Casino. I'm watching. I'm the only dang-gum Skins fan there. There's 100 Bears fans. I almost left. When they did that, Kevin, I ran down there through the sports book hallways. I'm screaming. You know what, though? Half of those Bears fans, they were so happy for me and high-fiving. Like, they couldn't believe it either. It's not just us Washington fans. NFL fans are like, holy crap. They're excited. We're back. Fan base is back. Now, I think this week is going to be harder than – the first
big test
game, in my
big
opinion.
Test this year, big this test. Week
okay?
Huge.
But also, I want us to understand one thing, defense, or I want to say one thing before we get off. I know you got to go. Hey, I've been wanting to say this about Terry with you for a long time. I think you're going to look back and you're going to be like, you're going to regret not thinking he was elite. He never had a quarterback, Kevin. That's the one thing I disagree with you for a couple years now. Look at who he's had. You said you would take Garrett Wilson over him a little while ago. And I'm telling you right now, you're crazy if you take Terry, if you wouldn't pick Terry over Garrett Wilson. So I'm going to say,
so let me just say two things. One, I always said he's never had a quarterback, you know, but there were other guys that didn't have quarterbacks either. Two, I love Terry. He's a great receiver. He's not in my top seven or eight. He isn't. Even after what he's been doing with this quarterback, it's just a league. You got to watch the rest of the league. He is very good, though. And I'm thrilled that he's finally got a quarterback so that he can show how good he is. I got to run Ben Standing next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.